Boketo World. Today's daf in the Sechet Benachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Hei. And we're about to start on the very next piece of the Mishnah, which is Mincha, or more Mincha, Min Mincha. What would be the din if you used a lotion like that? So we're up at basically the two dots, and ready to continue. So the next thing that the Mishnah said, which is basically the same idea, it seemed like, that if you mention not just mincha, but you said a min mincha, you bring one type of mincha, which is your choice out of the five. And then it said if you made min minachot, so then you'd have to bring two minachot. By Rav Papa, what about if you said it a little bit different and you said minei mincha? So you only mentioned one mincha, but you did talk about types of, which is mashma, that we're talking about various ones, different types of mincha. So what would that mean? Since you did say types, so you mean types, right? I mean, it's got to be a minimum of two if we're talking in the plural, two types. So that would be tarte ko'amar, a minimum of two is what you said. Or do we just say that you only use the word mincha, so maybe you just meant I could select a type out of various types of mincha? So the meaning of using the singular with the word of mincha, well, that's because the Torah uses the word singular, meaning all of the various minachot. Vizot Torat HaMincha. Now, obviously, Zot Torat HaMincha is a description of the dinim of all of the minachot. So we see that we can use the singular to mean all of the types of minachot. Maybe that's what you're doing. Or maybe, since you use the word mincha, so minei just meant out of the types. You really meant chada mincha kama. And when you said minei mincha chikama, mi minei amincha, I want to choose a mincha from the types of mincha that are available to me, which would be one of the five. Well, take a look at our Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah seems to be pretty clear about this, no? The Mishnah says if a guy uses the word either mincha or min mincha, that he would bring one. So doesn't that imply that if he had used the alternative term of mine mincha, I mean, isn't that the whole point of the mincha? Of the Mishnah, to point out that if both of your terminologies are in the singular, so then you mean one. But if you would have used either menachot or minei mincha, so one of your terms, either of the types or the word mincha, would have been in the plural, then you would have had to bring shtayim. That's what it sounds like to me. Well, it does sound like that, but the problem is, then read the rest of the Mishnah. The next case in the Mishnah is menachot, or min minachot, yavishtayim, which implies that if you would use mine mincha, it would be chada, because we're only giving you the alternative of minachot over here. So it would not be, if mine itself would be sufficient to be shtayim, then it should say the bigger chiddush of actually mine mincha or min minachot, but it doesn't. So apparently mine mincha is only one. That's a very strong indication, isn't it? So, I mean, obviously the Mishnah is not coming to address this, because if it is, then it's simply confused itself. I mean, it's contradicting itself. So from here, for sure, miha leka lamishma mina. We cannot use this Mishnah as a basis because the Mishnah is clearly not talking about this deal. Okay, take a look at this bright. How about this? Tashma. Min minachot alai. Aha. Aha. That's basically the min, where you use min minachot, you bring two minachot, mi min echad. So what does that mean that it's coming to imply? That if you would have said mi mine mincha, that then you would bring only one, right? Isn't that the point? No. Maybe the point is that if you would say mine mincha, that if you would have said mine mincha, but if you had said, here we're talking about mine mincha, but suppose you would say mine mincha, so then you would bring two minachot from two minim instead of from one min. That's the point, but not the difference between only bringing one. The question is whether it be one min, not whether it be one mincha. But that can't be, because there's another brayta that says not like that. The other brayta says, if you say min minachot, then you bring shtei minachot mi min echad. If you said minei minachot, then you bring shtei minachot mishnei minim. Okay? So those are the only cases that would fill what you said, where you're going to bring two minachot of two different kinds. But suppose you would have said minei mincha, so then the implication is that you would only bring one mincha. That's true, but you know what? That could be that it's going aliba to Rabbi Shimon. If it's going aliba to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't prove anything, because according to Rabbi Shimon, we have a case like that with one mincha. Rabbi Shimon's shita is that we have one mincha that has minim in it. And what's that? That is the Bafei Tanur. According to Rabbi Shimon, you can bring mechza chalot and mechza rikikin. And therefore, when you said minei mincha, you meant a mincha that has different minim within that same mincha. Mincha de it betre minei. But maybe, according to the Rabbanan, who don't have that option. So why are you using the plural in talking about the minim if you only meant one? Because according to the Rabbanan, who say, well, there ain't no such animals, a mechza chalos, a mechza rikikin, lo yavi, you can't bring a mincha like that. So then how would we explain the language? It must be that according to them, you would actually bring shtei menachot mishnei minim, which makes a lot more sense grammatically. But if it's Rabbi Shimon, eino chinami, a minei mincha would have a very concrete meaning. There is a single mincha that has different meaning in it. Okay, next case we had in the Mishnah. Pirashti, now this is the end of the Mishnah, which, remember, the beginning of the Mishnah seemed to have started with the same case. Guy said, I said Isronot. I said the number, but I don't remember the number. And then at the end of the Mishnah, we seem to repeat ourselves with the same case, where he says Pirashti, ve'eini yodea ma Pirashti. So it says over here that in the case of Minim, you would bring five different menachos, which include all five of the possibility, and that would include all of them, would it? We just brought up Rabbi Shimon. Would it include Rabbi Shimon? Because remember, according to Rabbi Shimon, you've got an awful lot of possibilities. In order for you, if you've actually said what you're going to bring, you don't remember. Maybe you said you're going to bring a mechza rikikin and mechza chalais, right? Or maybe you said, I'm going to bring three rikikin and seven chalais. Or then again, maybe it was seven rikikin and three chalais. Or it could have been five rikikin. This can go on forever, right? So basically, you're going to have, even if you, remember, there's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. How many total chalais do you have? Is it 10? Of each type, or is it 12 of each type? So even if you want to take the lesser number, right? So you want to go according to Rabbi Yehuda, and it's 10. You're still going to have 14 different menachos that you might bring. What are you talking about? Five. You've got nine combinations here, you know? So I don't understand how you get the five. So obviously it can't be going according to Rabbi Shimon, because we'd have so many different possibilities that we'd have to end up with 14, not 5. Says Rabbi, not necessarily. You know, it could even be according to Rabbi Shimon. Because remember, Rabbi Shimon himself, actually, if you're going like Rabbi Shimon, you might as well go all the way, you know? And Rabbi Shimon himself said, Shamina Leila Rabbi Shimon, the Omar, that in a case where you're not sure how it is that you had worked out the difference, all the different types. He said, well, what you can do is you can bring a korban, and then you can actually make a t'nai. So it's, you bring your 10 chalos, assuming we're going according to Rabbi Yehuda, or your 12 chalos, and if you're going according to Rabbi Meir, and what you do is you make a t'nai that if what I said was, I don't have to bring 11 different menachos. All I have to do is bring two menachos, one totally rikikin, one totally chalos, and that to say, if I made my neder was to bring a mincha mafei tanur that was entirely chalos, these are my chalos. If I made a mincha mafei tanur to be entirely rikikin, these are my rikikin. And if there was some whatever, a mixture of one and the other. So then the requisite amount of rekikin are to be found on this side, and the requisite amount of challahs are to be found on that side. And the rest I'm just sending along as a nedava. And that's where Rabbi Shimon Shita is. So if that's the case, you're going to do the same thing over here. And that brings you back down to five. Because in bringing your mincha ma'afei tanur chalot, and your other mincha ma'afei tanur rekikin, which were part of the five, you've already brought all 14, because all of the possible combinations are already in there. And since you're going like Rabbi Shimon, so why not? Because look, here's a similar case to that case, the Tanya. Now, this was a very, very complex case that we had in Maseches Nasim. The question was over there, a guy is completely confused. He does not know whether he was a Nazir who became Tameh, did he already Metayer himself? Was he a Metzera? And he's not sure at what stage of the Tzaras. He doesn't know whether he's a Metzera who's Muchlat, is a Metzera who Muzgar, and he doesn't know whether maybe he also was Metameh Tumas Meis. So this guy is in serious trouble. Because, look, in order to get himself back into shape, to be able to be a regular guy who can eat kachim and so on and so forth, he first has to get rid of his tuma, right? So he's going to have to, for sure, he's going to need, if he's mesupik, maybe he's a tamei meis, he's not going to be able to retire himself from his tzaras or from his naziras until he finishes his tumas meis. He's going to have to take care of his tumas meis. Then he's going to need, remember, both the nazir and the mitzera, they need that haircut. But the problem is that the Mitzera needs two haircuts, one at the beginning of his Tziporim, and then he's got to go ahead and he's got to bring, after he brings his Tziporim and so on, together with his other Korbanes, so now he cuts his hair on the eighth day. But he can't cut his hair on the eighth day because he may be a Nazir. If he's a Nazir, he is just now beginning his new Naziras when he cut his hair after he was Metayer himself from the Tuma of his, of the Tumas Meis of his Naziras. He's got to wait another 30 days until he's able to cut his hair again, right? Now, besides that problem, he does not know whether he's supposed to be bringing an Asher Metzera or not. And if he's supposed to be bringing an Asher Metzera, then he would have to be doing the sprinkling, and he would need a look shemen and all the dinim of the Asham. But if he doesn't have to bring the Asher Metzera, because he never was a Metzera, because he's confused, how the heck is he going to be able to bring an Asher Metzera mitzad hasafek? He can't do that. And yet Rabbi Shimon works it out for him. So this is going to be the same type of condition that you're going to make over here. We're claiming that you can bring just one full set of a minchas ma'afei tanur lechem and one full set of a minchas ma'afei tanur rekikin, and you can make a condition that whatever the combination was, that's what I want, right? So let's see how Rabbi Shimon handles this problem of how to bring an Asher Nazir, of an Asher Metzera, how to bring this Asher Metzera on the 60th day after he's waited 30 days for his first haircut when he became Tahar from his Tumas Meis. And then he waits another 30 days for his next haircut, in case he was a Metzera. And now he's ready to bring his Asham Nazir, but he's got to bring his Asham Metzera. So how does he bring an Asham Metzera? So Rabbi Shimon says, well, what he does is like this. He brings an Asham, ostensibly, brings a carbon for an Asham, and he brings a Luk Shemen, and he says, if I actually was a Metzera, here is my carbon Asham, here is my Luk Shemen. And then he goes ahead and he uses that to be Metayer himself from his Tzaras. But if I never was a Metzera, so what is this? Oh, if I never was a Metzera, this is not an Asham. Sorry, I hereby dub thee a Shlomim. So you are a Shlomim that is being brought just as an Adova. Now, the problem is that a Shlomim, of course, is as all kinds of dinim that are very different than the Asham. So how does he get away with bringing it a Shlomim? Well, you go to the extreme and you say, let's be machmer on it with all the chumras of the Asham, and let's be machmer on it of all the chumras of the Shlomim. Okay. So therefore, first of all, you're going to have to shecht the pitzafon, because maybe it is an Asham. Shlomim, you don't have to shecht the pitzafon, right? Now you're also going to have to do the Matan Bahonot and sprinkle this on his thumb and his toe and his ear. You're going to have to do all of that stuff. You're going to have to do Smicha, Nisachim, Tnufas Chosev Ashok, as if it's a Shlomim, although remember we had a Machlokas, whether maybe you're actually the Mitzora also. It's not clear whether it was a D'oraisa or a D'rabbanan, as Tosis points out, even if it was a Mitzora. Okay, so just in case it was only D'rabbanan, so we're throwing in all of the things. Smicha, Nisachim, Tufas Chosev Ashok, obviously we'd only do if it was a Shlomim. If it is a shlomim, we have 2 days to eat it. But since it might be an asham, we only have 1 day to eat it. And if it was a shlomim, then it wouldn't be usher to non-kohanim, but maybe it's an asham. And therefore, it has to be eaten dafka for zichrei kohanim, and it can only be eaten for 1 day and the following night. But anyway, you see from here, the Rebbe Shimon says that you can go ahead and you can bring a carbon with these conditions built in, that if it's this, then I do this, and so on. So we do the same thing over here. We bring the 10 or the 12 kalos and 10 or 12 rakiki, depending if you're the rabbi or the mayor. We make the tzai, and it's exactly the same as we do here. And we say, and the rest of it is a nedava, just like we do over here. It'll be a shalmei nedava, right? Now, hold on. Remember that even though when we were learning zvachim, so I know my Rebbe said, Rabbah said, in Shchita Skotchim, which is the other word for Masechet Zvachim, and he said, when did Rebbe Shimon say this? The only time that Rebbe Meir says, you can do this lechatchila without it being a disaster in which things got mixed, and that's the only way you can bring it here. He's saying you can go and do this lechatchila. Well, you're not really allowed to do this lechatchila. You can only do it because since this guy is in dire straits, this mitzera is never going to become tahar if we're not going to be able to do this shtick, right? Because how can we bring an asham on a maybe? So the only time Rabbi Shimon allowed this was with tikkuni gavra, was to help this guy out, and therefore we're allowing you to do something wrong. And we're going to see what's wrong. You know what's wrong, but we'll talk about it in a second. Avol bi'alma, normally, you wouldn't be allowed to do something like this. It would only be if something got mixed and there's no choice. You've got something that might be an asham, might be a shlomim, but you can't bring a carbon that might be an asham or might be a shlomim. Unless it's for this emergency to be metakein the mitzora. So how do you say that you could do that over here? You're not thinking. What's the problem of doing it? Why can't I bring a carbon that may be an usham or maybe a shlomi? Why couldn't I make this condition? Because of a gavi rule. And that is, ein mevi'im kodshim lebeit apsul. In the event that this is a shlomim, you are severely curtailing both the time and the type of people that are going to be able to eat this shlomim. And because of that, it may very well become puzzle. Because you didn't have enough people, you didn't have enough time to eat up the whole animal, and now you're going to be bringing it to Nosa. So we have a general clause. We don't limit the time or the amount of individuals who can eat kachim by making these kind of tnoyim. So there, Rabbi Shimon said, look, we're only allowing you to do this because we're desperate to get this mitzora back into shape. Yeah, but that has no application to a mincha, does it? I mean, all the menachos are the same. We're not bringing anything lebeit apsul. So if it's doable to bring a carbon with these kind of tna'im, so then there should be no problem whatsoever in doing it even lechatchila with a mincha. So there you go. That explains why five different options would be enough. With five options, I handle all of the other nine possibilities of the different mixtures of how many chalot and how many rikikin, because I just make it tonight, and we do it however it is. So even though we said that it's only b'diavad and not lechatchila, that's hanimili gabi shlomim. That's where we're going to be memayit ba'achilatan. So now we've got less time, and we've got fewer individuals who are allowed to eat this. So therefore, havelo kachim lebeit apsul. which is our classic problem. Don't make a shlomim be limited and possibly come lidei nosa. That's why he said we would never have done such a thing if we wouldn't have had an emergency. Avo minachot? I mean, you're not causing any problems whatsoever by making a condition that if it was even chalot and rakikin, then it should be even. And if it was one more chalot and rakikin, then it should be that. And if it was one more rakikin, so on and so forth, make all those time. Why not? Who are you hurting? All things are going to be eaten the same way anyway. So therefore, the Mishnah, which says you only need five menachas, correct, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Consistent with Rabbi Shimon's own shitas, that would be great. Omalei Rav Papa, Labaye, hold on a second. I don't understand. How can you do this? Rabbi Shimon says if you do, you're allowed to bring mechta chalot and mechta rakikin, and that's fine. So how can you say that you're going to take the chalot of this particular minchas ba'afei tanur that he said is one mincha, and then the rikikin of another minchas ba'afei tanur that he said is another mincha, and now you're going to make a t'nai that, well, maybe it's not two separate minchas, maybe it's somehow proportionately some of one and some of the other. But how can you possibly do that? Because then that would mean that you're going to be using the chalot from one carbon to mix with the rikikin of the other carbon, and so on and so forth, right? So then you're not bringing one isaron to be the isaron for your single carbon, which was maybe four chalas and six rikikin. I don't know. And like, where'd you get the isaron for that? Hakamaita isaron echad mishnei isaronot. He'd be bringing one isaron, pretending that that's one mincha, and it's basically taken out of a pool of two isaronot. The same thing would be happening with the luk shemen. He's taking his luk shemen for this, sort of virtual mincha that he's separated out, that this part is for this, and this part is for that, but he's taking it out of a pool of two lugim. Can you do that? Well, yep. According to Rabbi Shimon, you can. It's a good thing this is all Rabbi Shimon, because Shamina Leila Rabbi Shimon, the Omar, that if b'di'avad, yimevi yisaron echad mishnei yisronot, v'lug echad mishnei lugin, you would be yotze. So since Rabbi Shimon's shita is, in general, that you can actually mix, so it doesn't matter. So I'm mixing. In other words, the fact that initially I had the yisaron in one particular kli, and the other yisaron in the other kli, that doesn't make any difference according to Rabbi Shimon. He doesn't hold that the kli is going to be koveya et bedavka in there. Okay, but look, even so, how can you do kmitza? It's impossible to do kmitza on this thing, because let's say if you had said that you're going to bring only chalps, or you had said you're going to bring only rikiki, so then you would have had two menachas. You would have had to do a separate kmitza on each one of them, one from the chalas and the other from the rikiki. But in the event that he had said one particular proportion, mechza, or 25%, whatever it was, so then how would you make only two kmutzim if each one of those kmutzim are entirely 100% either chalas or rikikin? So where's the kometz from the supposed mincha that you're bringing, which is maybe 50% chalas and 50% rikikin, or 25% chalas and 75% rikikin? Where is the kometz? So I don't understand. I see that he's allowing you to bring a mixture of materials, but how in the world would you do kmitza on those materials? Well, no, you actually make a t'nai, and you say, t'mat nevi amat, if my neder was that I'm going to be bringing chalas as one mincha and entirely rikikin as another mincha, so then Amre, I do hereby proclaim the karkamitzna mechalas levi achalas. The ones that I'm taking now from the chalas shall be the kemetz from my chalas. And whatever I'm taking, the kmitza mirikikin, should be for my rikikin. But if I had said that I'm going to be taking half rikikin and half chalas, I do hereby proclaim, Amre, I now hereby say, All of this kumitz that I took from the challahs is actually going to be brought on the Mizbeach for the benefit, it's going to be brought on the Mechzah challahs and the Mechzah rekikin, and half of that other carbon that I said that I would bring, well, I'm taking that from the rekikin, and I'm using my kumitz on these rekikin for the half of the challahs. What? What do you mean, I do hereby proclaim? Who are you, the Pope? What do you mean, now all of a sudden the meat is fish? What are you talking about? I mean, I don't understand. You need to be bringing one kometz mechalos and rekikin that are mixed, if that's the case. And instead, he's bringing mechalos on rekikin and rekikin on chalos. But that's not the correct mincha. A kometz has to be from that mincha. So how are you mixing two kvatzim and making it the kumitz from a mincha? You forgot we're talking about Rebbe Shimon, huh? Rebbe Shimon's got everything covered, let me tell you. Anything that nobody else says you can do, Rebbe Shimon says you can do. And because of that, Shamina Leila Rebbe Shimon, we heard another thing for Rebbe Shimon. And he was overheard saying that Ima Kamatz, person did kmitza on one of my magic mixed minachas, half rekikin, half chalas, whatever. And in doing so, now remember, in order to do that, like, are you really going to be able to have a homogeneous mixture? You did petita, right? So you got these small pieces of rekikin and small pieces of chalas, and you're saying, okay, now I mixed it together, and now I'm going to have a kometz half and half. Yeah, I can have a kometz a half and half. I'm like, what are we talking about over here? Planks size half and half? I mean, like, what's the half and half here? So, im kamatz v'ala b'yado mi'echad ashneyan. So let's say the kometz had pieces of chalos that were more and so on. Or maybe it was only, it was Maxwell's demon that was there and stuck all of the chalos into your hand, even though you'd be gotcha anyway. So that's the point. Since it's all one carbon that has chalos and rekikin, he doesn't mind that it should have one or the other, because this is one carbon that essentially has these two things in it. It doesn't, the kmitza doesn't have to have exactly parts of this or parts of that. It's whatever part of the carbon comes up in the kmitza. You were yotze. So then the same thing would be true about the case over here. Even if it were mixed, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Now, tomorrow, we're going to have to figure out what you do with the shemen. I don't want to go too far over here. Should I just continue and finish this piece about the shemen? Because, I mean, it is all interrelated, right? So that we've explained the kmitza, but we haven't explained what to do with the shemen. I'll tell you what our problem is. Our problem is that in the event that you've got a mechzah chalos and mechzah rekikin, if that's what the netter actually had been, so then what do you do with the extra shemen? Remember, we learned this before, that if, according to Rebbe Shimon, you've got a mincha that's mechzah chalos and mechzah rekikin, so then if that would be the case, you would bring a lug of shemen. You would split that lug into a chetzi lug, and you would use one chetzi lug, and you'd pour it over the rekikin, which is meant to be anyway soaked with oil, and the rest of it is put into a chalos. And then anything that we have left over from the rekikin, so we said before, you pour that back into the chalos, and now you've got extra chalos. But what's the din of leftover shemen of rekikin in the event that the whole thing was meant to be rekikin? Oh, there we learned that ikula rekikin omar, then the motar shemen is supposed to be given to the kohanim to eat. Now, you're not going to know, as you said, you don't know what you said. So what do you do with the motar of the rekikin? You don't know whether to give it to the kohanim in the event that maybe the whole mincha was rekikin, or whether you're supposed to pour it back into the chalais in the event that it was mechza rekikin and mechza chalais, or what are you going to do with it? How are you going to process the shemen? This part actually works out very well like Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. And it could be that our Mishnah is actually the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, because Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said his din in the name of Rabbi Shimon. That was his approach to Rabbi Shimon. So there is at least a possibility that Rabbi Shimon's own Shita would have allowed you to handle the oil also. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, where you have a minchas mafe tanur, that is mechzer chalas and mechzer rekikin, you don't keep pouring the oil on the rekikin. You actually do a Greek chi, right? And the rest of it is given to the Kohanim. So that means, according to the way Rabbi Shimon is explained by Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, it works out perfectly well. Because the din of the Mosar of the Shemen Rekikin is exactly the same for a mincha that is Mechzer Rekikin and Mechzer Chalais as it is for one that is Kulai Rekikin. And therefore, everything works out absolutely hunky-dory, according to Rabbi Shimon, at least according to the Rabbi Shimon, as he's reported specifically by Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. That's great. But, says Rav Kana to Rav Ashi, how does the whole Mishnah make sense? There aren't only five menachas. There are six menachas. Because we've been talking the whole time in this parak about bringing a mincha, which is your own Minchas Nisachim, right? We said, whether you hold the Rabbi Akiva, you hold the Rabbi Tarfa, put them back to everybody agrees, you can bring a Minchas Nisachim. We found a mocker in the Pasuk for that. Ha Ezrach Yaseh Kacha. And that means that an individual could bring this every single day. So, I mean, if that's the case, why don't we have to say, if the guy said, heck, I can't remember which Mincha I said, why don't we say that besides the five that are listed as the possibilities in the Mishnah, namely the Minchas Seles, the Minchas Machavaz, the Minchas Marcheshas, the Minchas Mafeta Nur Kikin, and the Minchas Mafeta Nur Chalot, why don't we also have to add the Minchas Nesachim? We just learned this yesterday. You could go ahead and bring a Minchas Nesachim as a Nedava. So maybe that's what he said. And he doesn't remember. No. The guy essentially is worried that he had this list of Menachas in mind. But tell me something. You know, the Minchas Nesachim is a totally different, from a different world. It's a different set. Look, in so many ways, I'll tell you. First of all, the guy was only thinking about a mincha, not that the kind of mincha that comes together with another carbon. And he was thinking about a mincha that a yochid would usually bring. Nefesh, ki takriv, right? He wasn't talking about a mincha that's also brought by a tzibur. And he was thinking about a mincha, you know, a good old mincha with shemen and levena and everything like that. Yeah, that's what he's thinking. He's not thinking about a mincha that doesn't have a levena in it. And he's thinking, a mincha is an isorin with a look shemen. I mean, that's what a mincha means, not this kind of stuff that might be shleishalugin and an isorin, and depending what it is. Ah, forget it. And he never thought, you know, a mincha means something that the kohen is going to be taking a kemetz out of. There's no comments that's taken from a minchas. So I guarantee you, the last thing that this guy was ever going to be dreaming about bringing was a minchas nisachim. So let's just see that inside. What type of mincha is this guy thinking about? A babiglal yachid, not a babiglal tzibur. He wasn't thinking about that. And kikamistapikle was a babiglal atzma, a mincha that you bring on your own, not the kind of mincha that's generally brought together with biglal atzevach. And besides that, a guy would only be bimisupak about the kind of mincha that he was going to bring with levona. He wasn't thinking about a weird mincha that doesn't have any levona in it. And he was certainly only thinking about a kind of mincha that you use one lug per isaron. He's not thinking about this wild mincha where you need three lug, and he's not thinking about that. And he was thinking about a kmitza kind of mincha. That's what mincha means to people. Kmitza, levena, aluk shemen, the whole jazz. So therefore, she'ena tuna kmitza, he certainly was never thinking about that. Ha. Okay, that actually settles the issue. And we'll continue, Bezrat Hashem, with this understanding this Mishnah tomorrow.